We're going to read a passage of scripture before we get started in this message. And the younger kids, fours and fives, can follow the other little kids. They're going to have an age-appropriate Bible study right upstairs. So we encourage those kids to go up there and hear the word of the Lord. We pray that God would speak to them and save them from a life of sin. You know, spare them from a life of mistakes while he catches them early. So let's always make sure we pray for them. Hey, you always can ask them when they come down, hey, what did you learn today? Amen. You know, when you see them. So I encourage you to do that. They're learning up there the word of God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. And we're going to talk about a sermon titled, The One Necessary Thing. We're going to talk about the one necessary thing this morning in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, follow along with me as I start this passage. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Are you listening to God? President Franklin D. Roosevelt got tired of smiling and saying the usual things at all those White House receptions, walking down the line and hearing everyone's praises. So one evening he decided that he was going to do something different to see if people were actually listening to what he said to them. So as he started going down the line of people, he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people would shake his hand and say, way to go, keep up the good work. I murdered my grandmother this morning. Well, you go, President. I murdered my grandma. And down the line it went. Nobody listened to what he was saying, except one foreign diplomat. As he said that I murdered my grandmother this morning to the diplomat responded softly and said, I'm sure she had it coming to her. Church, the problem is today that we are not, God is speaking. Amen. And it's not the problem that he's not speaking. The problem is that we're not listening. So I wonder today, are you listening? It's been hard probably the last couple years, but just progressively to kind of watch our world and people that you thought would be listening to God. Recently, we've seen pastors step down from ministries drastically and just go completely dark. Nobody knows what's going on. They just know they left. It's people that we know that have given into suicide and have taken their lives, pastors, various reasons. Some don't put them all in a box. Some had real issues medically, but some just got the pressure was too much. We've heard reports of key pastors of some of the most renowned churches that we look up to, and everyone tries to model their ministries after their books and after their conferences. And we hear reports of sexual immoral actions and affairs taking place in those ministries, hearing them step down conveniently from their positions. And I wonder what went wrong. We can go on and on about other people. We can cite other ministry leaders that failed and Christians that committed adultery against their wives and ruined their families. We can go on about men that made work their main goal and their ambition, and through a workaholic effort continued to abandon Christ and stop coming to church, and led to their kids stop coming to church, led to destruction in their families. It wouldn't be hard for us to try to find an example, and that's the sad reality of what we're talking about today. We can talk about listening, and we can say, are you listening to God? And everyone in this room says, well, I'm here to listen. That's what I came here for. But I'm not talking about hearing what God says. I'm talking about listening to what He says. Are we making the space in our lives? Are we making the room in our lives for God to have a prominent voice, a prominent message for us, so that we can live by His words? Or have we gone dark? It's easy to sit on the sidelines and look at those pastors with judgment in our heart. I can't believe he did this. I can't believe she did this. We could look at relationships and marriages. What a great woman. I can't believe he cheated on her. What a great man. I can't believe she cheated on him. We can look at these positions of pastor, positions of power. He had everything. Everything was going right. We all wanted to be you. How could you squander it away? With judgment in our hearts, we can look at those people and have just so many opinions and so many statements, but I wonder how different we are than them.
Yes, help us, Holy Ghost.
Could it be that the same thing that caused them to step away, that caused them to close their ears, that caused too many other messages to dominate their day and their decisions and their actions and their marriages and their families and their churches and their decisions. Could it be that they are doing the same thing that we might be doing too, and that's that we're not listening to God?
Amen.
The main point I'd like you to see today in this passage is that what we do with the Lord is far more important than what we do for the Lord. What we do with the Lord is far more important than what we do for the Lord. Today we're going to talk about the difference between being and doing. Now, Martha, we look at two ladies here in this passage and we see a little bit about them. Martha is described here as the head of the household. She went out and invited Jesus into the home. She seems to be the one that was responsible for the preparations, for the entertainment, or maybe she just took it on, but that's what we hear about her. But I think it is really important that we note, whenever we see this woman, Mary of Bethany, in Scripture, it's important to note that every time we see this woman in the Bible, she's always seated at Jesus' feet. We see her here at Jesus' feet, soaking up every word of the Lord, every word that he spoke. We see her in John 11 after her brother Lazarus had died, as she fell at Jesus' feet and was weeping. We also see again in John chapter 12, as she knew Jesus was going to his death, She anointed Jesus' feet with oil before his death. I think it is important that we see these things that continue to happen. Could they be coincidence? Or could they just be her heart towards Jesus? I think it's also really important that we recognize the very placement of this passage in Scripture. That this passage directly follows the first and second greatest commandment and a story that really defines Reborn Community Church, the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus responds to a lawyer's question by giving him the first and second greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is that you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he asks, well, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus goes into the story about the Good Samaritan and shares this story about this man on the side of the road who was in need and how that Good Samaritan helped him. And he said, that's who your neighbor is, the person in need. But I believe Jesus circles back around here to the first and greatest commandment, the commandment to love God. The most important commandment, the commandment that must not be lost in the second commandment, a love for our neighbor. In fact, I believe that Jesus is saying, remember the important things, the most important thing, to love God, that must not be lost in the second commandment. Remember the thing that is most necessary that you must do in life. Remember the most necessary thing. Remember me. In John 15, chapter 5, it says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, I want us to know this today, that our worship of God must be the foundation of our work for God. Our worship of God must be the foundation of our work for God. See, how crazy is it in this story? We look at this story, how crazy is this? The God of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of glories, Lord of lords, to have him in your house and be too distracted to hear what he has to say. To have his presence, but not be able to hear him, to listen to him. This isn't a new problem. This is a current problem. People sit in the presence of the Lord in churches every Sunday, in Bible studies, in prayer meetings, and in their own rooms sometimes. And their thoughts, and even though the word is open, and even though the Lord is speaking through his inerrant word, people's minds are 1,000 miles away. I wonder what you're thinking about right now. Amen. Are you listening? The verb distracted means to draw away. I think of it like a kid's eyes. You know, when you're trying to get a kid's attention, and a mom, like, you know, you're trying to talk to him, and he's just like all over the place. I don't know why every corner of the wall and the ceiling is important to look at when you're finally trying to talk to your kids. Can I get a witness from a parent in the room? So what do? We grab their face and we're like, look at me. Look at me. I say, repeat what I'm saying, right? We try to get them to repeat it because we know that they might be hearing but we are sounding like Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah. You know, we're not really getting anything through their thick heads. So we're like, listen to me for a second. It's not new. I want you to look at this. Why don't we listen to Jesus? There's some things that I think he shows us in this passage. The first one is this. We get distracted by other priorities. Verse 40, he says, but Martha was distracted by much serving. By much serving. Remember, distracted means to be drawn away. To be pulled away. Something else is drawing your gaze. Something else is drawing your focus. Something else is drawing your attention. Something else is consuming your time. Something else is is taking priority, which is what was taking here. Martha was drawn away from Jesus because of her mixed up priorities. She had a mixed up priority. She felt that the most important thing that she could do was to serve this meal. She invited Jesus in. She was excited about Jesus was there. And she got so focused on what I need to do. The most important thing that I could do is serve. And I think as a church, you know, Reborn Community Church, we do a whole lot of serving. We have a whole lot of serving going on here. We believe in serving. In fact, we talk so many times about the story of the Good Samaritan because we believe that we should help the person in need. We had a great Thanksgiving dinner with people coming out, and praise God for everyone that participated and cooked and hurt themselves and burned their hands and sacrificed for that time. But I think God was glorified as we loved people. But I think it's important for us to know to not lose the first commandment in the midst of practicing the second commandment. What is drawing you away? You know, fact is that these things, this serving isn't evil. It's not wrong. In fact, it's commanded, right? Could a command that God has actually given you still distract you from the most important thing? It says in this passage that she was distracted by much serving. She had to get the meal prepared, right? She had to set the table. She had to bake the bread. She had to cook the meat. She had to steam the vegetables. She had to do all this and that. And it was just so much serving was consuming her priority. It is so crazy how busy we get in America. I think it's crazy how we have so many time-saving devices, you know, that are supposed to be making everything easier, right? But we're more busy and we feel more pressure. And it just seems like every day we are distracted by so many things. So many things. And sometimes it could even be our own ministries here. Yes. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, it says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord.
Amen.
We, church, need to secure our undivided devotion to the Lord. Would you say he is your priority? If we were to look back at our week, last week, how much of a priority did he take in your life on Monday? How did you sit at his feet? What was it that distracted you Monday from that? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? How about Thursday? It's so easy to get consumed with work, the responsibilities of family, the demands of life, and some of those things. This is the reality. As much as we don't want to admit it, some of those things could be taken away. Some of those demands, some of those busy realities could be removed. You might have to exercise some faith to say, I don't know how the meal is going to get prepared, but Jesus is talking and I need to go listen.
Amen.
I can assure you that it's going to take faith to put the business to the side, to put the work order to the side, to put the test to the side, to put the demand of your boss to the side. I know it's going to be difficult to put the clothes to the side. I know it's going to be difficult to put the practical things that are distracting you to the side, but you're going to have to trust God and put it to the side so you can hear what he has to say, because the most important thing you could be doing on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and on Saturday is to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. Writer Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. And he got nervous, tense about it. He found himself snapping at his wife and his children. He found himself eating quickly, choking down the food quickly so he could get from mealtime, so he could get back to work, feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. He recalled in his book, Stress Fractures. Before long, things around his home started reflecting the pattern of hurry-up style of living. Just get through it. Hurry up. Get to the end of the meal. He wasn't embracing at all those that were around him. It was becoming unbearable. He distinctly remembers after supper one evening the words of his younger daughter Colleen. She wanted to tell him something. She was excited about it. And she tells her father, "Daddy, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you really fast." Hoping to just get his attention, that this wasn't going to take very long, she says, "I'm going to tell you really fast." Suddenly, he kind of realized her frustration as she said that, and he answered her, "Honey, you can tell me. You don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." And he said in his book, he'll never forget her answer. She said, "If you want me to say it slowly, then listen slowly." God is speaking, but we're distracted with so many things. We're distracted. If we were just to take an evaluation in our lives and just say, what are the things in my life that are distracting me from sitting at Jesus' feet daily? And as we realize those things, if we were to remove them and replace them with time with the Lord, you'll be surprised how many things would be fixed by that. How many things would be fixed by just doing that? Listening to Jesus. See, not only are we distracted by priorities that aren't as important as the Lord, but we lose perspective because of other priorities. Look at what she did here. If you look at this passage, she was distracted, as it clearly says, but then it says she questioned God's care for her. This is the place that you get to when you become distant, to now run away from God. Now all of a sudden you got the gall in you to now question his own character. She says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care?'" She questioned the fact that he cares. You know, you can't sit at the feet of Jesus regularly and then get to a place where you're wondering if he cares for you. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because that intimacy, that time, that consistent time with the Lord will prove that daily how much he loves you and cares for you. Not only did she question God's character, but she turned on her own sister. "My sister," she says, "has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me." He turned on her own sister, her own flesh and blood. I'm just saying, let's just remind of the scenario. This isn't like she's just talking to her brother. She's talking to God. She went and busted out her sister to Jesus. She went to Jesus and said, "My sister, look at what my sister did." The one has the authority to just kill her in a moment. She turned on her sister. "My sister has left me to serve alone." She became a victim in her mind. This is what happens when we get to a place where we're not listening to God. We become a victim. "Look at me, I'm all alone. Yes. Tell her to help me." Teach. No one asked you to serve alone. Preach. She put that on herself. Preach. She wasn't asked by Jesus to serve alone. Focus all your time and attention. He was speaking. That wasn't what she really wanted her to be doing. Sometimes the things, that pressures that we're feeling, the frustrations that we're feeling in ourselves are self-inflicted pressures. You did this to yourself. God had a greater priority. You're the one filling your time and all of your focus with this stuff that's pressuring you and making you discontent and wondering, why, God, are you giving me more labors? God, why aren't you giving me more strength? God, why aren't you providing this and this for me? And now we have our gall to question God because we've decided that we're going to be God. We're going to decide how fast it's going to grow. We're going to decide how much we're going to do. We're going to decide how busy we're going to be. And we've made all these decisions and we filled our life with all these things. And then we come to God and say, like, okay, now that I've done all my choices, made all my choices and made all my decisions and I filled all my schedule, now I want you to comfort me. Now I want you to help me. Now I want you to provide for me and fix it because you need to provide for me here. Don't you care, God? Oh, it's the church members. You guys don't care. You're the ones that don't care enough. Oh, it's the leadership. Oh, it's the leadership that doesn't care. Oh, you guys don't care. And we start pointing the victim. Oh, poor is me. I'm the one who just loves and nobody else loves but me. And then guess what we do? We begin telling Jesus what to do. Rather than asking him what he wants us to do, we begin telling him what to do. Jesus, you go tell my sister to help me. You tell the reborn ministry leaders to help me. This is what's important. You go tell them. Oh, really? But I was talking. And I had something in your heart that I needed to work out. And I have something in the leadership's heart that I need to work out. And I have something in the membership heart that I need to work out. And I want them to sit at my feet. I want them to listen. I want them to grow. I want them to mature. I want to confront them with something. And if I let them, if they're doing that, they will be distracted just like you are. Word of God puts all of life's pressures into proper perspective, church. If you're distancing yourself from God, from His Word, then you will lose perspective. God doesn't care. Church members don't care. This is a mess. You're just getting yourself in this crazy place. You know, there's a powerful reality to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. He says a whole lot. The third thing I see in this passage is that we get anxious over other priorities. Get distracted by other priorities. We lose perspective because of other priorities. And then we become anxious. We get anxious over other priorities. He says in verse 41, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" I said, "But God, get her to tell me. Don't you care? Martha. You're so troubled by so many things. You're so anxious about so many things. You got so many different priorities. Come back to your first love. Come back to me. Come back right now. Listen." This word anxious is talking about this inward uneasiness or an outward confusion. That's what the word troubled would mean. So he says that she's both anxious and troubled. She's inwardly and outwardly just uneasy and confused now. And that's what happens when we continue, when we disconnect ourselves from God, we get distracted, we draw away from God, we find ourselves just confused. I don't know. I don't see what God's doing. I don't see nothing happening here. I don't see God answering any prayers. I don't see the movement of God in my community, in my family, in my life. God, I keep asking you to speak to me. You're not speaking. I don't hear your voice. We become confused. See, Martha's serving was creating a separation between her and Jesus. Why? Because these things became her priority. Her heart was distracted by less important things. Serving is not bad, but becomes a problem when all energy was put into it. It became a problem when all her attention was put on it. It became a problem when all her focus was put on it. And your distraction will become a problem too if it consumes all of that time. Martha was drawing away from the Lord. She was not drawing to Jesus. And she was drawing her value and worth from serving and doing and not from Jesus. And she was failing. Here's the God of all creation right there. Wants to talk to you. But I gotta accomplish this. Because this is how I am significant. I gotta do this because this means I'm important and I bring some value to him. I gotta reach this goal. I gotta make sure the quota is filled, the amount of people come out. I gotta make sure everyone's happy with me. I gotta do all this stuff. It's so easy, church, for us to get to misplaced priorities and then starting to draw from them. Value, worth, significance. It's a dangerous place to be, especially when you fail. And it doesn't work out. And you don't have enough people. And someone doesn't repent and decide to follow Jesus that you've worked with for so many years. And the last point I want you to see here is that this Jesus is the necessary priority in your life, in our lives. Mary chose the best part. Jesus was the most important thing to Mary. Look at how Mary positioned herself. Just take a look. Mary humbly positioned herself at Jesus' feet in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. It doesn't say that she did anything when Jesus entered the room. She could have been helping before then, but as Jesus came in the room, she went to him. She sat at his feet. Mary spent her time being close to Jesus. And I want us to remember this, that you're as close as you want to be to Jesus. Amen. In James 4:8, he says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Amen.
Jesus desires to be close to you.
Yes.
If he didn't desire to be close to you, then he wouldn't have taken the sin that separated you from him away. He wouldn't have given his life to remove the sin that separated you from him. He wants to be close to you so bad that he gave his life for it. He wants to be in intimate relationship with you so bad that he paid the ultimate price for it. He desires to be close to you. But listen to this. If you're not close to Jesus, as close to Jesus as you used to be, guess who moved? If you're not as close to Jesus as you used to be, guess who moved? You moved. Because God's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful. If you want to be still, you must sit still. You must come before the Lord and sit at his feet and listen. Pastor, I just don't have a time. But my job, I got this job and I work long hours. Well, then work long hours and then sit still. But I have all these kids and school and work and then, okay, feed them, put them to bed, and then sit still. But I got all the laundry. Okay, I'm not saying you got to do laundry. Do laundry, but then sit still. And I got all these bills. That means I got to take on overtime and I got to do extra work, okay? Do you really? Well, if you really do, then do the overtime and then take your lunch break and sit still. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about so many things. Look at what activity Mary participated in first. She sat before the Lord, and then it says that Mary listened to Jesus' teaching. She sat still, and she listened. She listened to his teaching in verse 39, and it says that Mary chose the best part. Well, I've been called to Reborn Community Church to be a leader, to be a team member of youth, or to mentor a youth, or to be an usher or a deacon or a pastor or a leader of community ministries or whatever it is. Yeah. But that's not the most important part. You've been called to Jesus. You've been called to Jesus, to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to Jesus, to grow in Jesus, to feed from Jesus, to let him nourish you and equip you and teach you and grow you and strengthen you. So what misplaced priority continues to disrupt your personal time with God or compromise your time with God weekly? There's a difference between listening, hearing, and listening. In the book, James Hamilton shares his insight about listening to God. He says that before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. What they would do is then they would let the streams would get really cold, and they would cut out ice blocks. They would put them in these rooms. They would take all the straw and hay and cover those ice boxes, and they'd put their food in there. And one man, while they were doing that, and he was working in the ice house, he lost a valuable watch while working in that house. And he went in there, and he raked all the straw to the side, and he moved everything around trying to find this watch. It's really important to him, and he couldn't find it. His friends, the other workers, went in there. They moved stuff around. They couldn't find it either. But a small boy who heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house in the noontime and emerged with the watch all of a sudden. The guys were amazed. They look at him. They were, "How did you do that?" And the boy looked at them and he said, "I went in the ice house. I closed the door. I laid down in the sawdust and I kept very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking." The question isn't if God's speaking, but whether are you being still? Are you being quiet enough to listen? Are you creating the space for God's voice to be clear to you? Are you opening his word? Are you reading his word? Be still and know that I am God. This has been a really hard week for me. And some other people in here. Some of you may have heard about the shooting at Mercy Hospital. The people that were tragically murdered in rage for no good reason, not that there's ever any good reason to do that. And I, like everybody else, I was watching the news and hearing about this death and this person that went in there, and man, it's... I heard people saying, "I think we knew him," and I was looking at the cop. "I don't recognize his face. I don't recognize who he is." I went to sleep that night, woke up to my wife waking me. She said it was Juan Lopez, Jamie. I was like, "What are you talking about? I didn't see him on the picture of one being shot." She said, "No, it was Juan Lopez that did the shooting." Like, just to give you a little history, Juan Lopez was in my junior high ministry at Armitage Baptist Church. I remember holding Juan Lopez after his brother got killed from crossfire. The gangs were shooting at each other in cars, and Juan's little brother got hit and died. The day before, by God's grace, I preached a message in the gospel, and his little brother got saved the day before he got killed. But I remember Juan, with such fruit of the Spirit in his heart, in front of all the media, he forgave the people that killed his brother. It was all over the news. Juan Lopez had been given had been dealt some really bad cards in life. But God put so many people around Juan Lopez, so many godly people that loved him, that if he would have called, would have jumped up to help him. He had opportunities. He had resources. The mayor's office promised him a job when he got out of high school. It was just crazy, the favor that God was unleashing on this young man who had given his life to the Lord. And my wife's waking me up that morning, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Juan? Yeah, he was the one. And I never, you know, you always hear people say, I can't believe he did it. I knew him. And I get that. But there were some decisions that Juan made. There were some distractions that drew Juan away from the Lord, that brought Juan so far away from the Lord where he was able to be enraged. There was also some other things probably mentally going on with him. But I know he was struggling to sit still. I know he was struggling to listen. And so he did something horrible. And I hope today that we don't look at the scenarios around us, that pastor, Juan Lopez, maybe we never can imagine ourselves going to a place where we do something so horrible as that, difficult, in judgment on others who have done so many horrible things or different things, difficult things, in judgment, and sit in our prissy little places thinking that we're not close to that. But if you are distracted, if you have been drawn away to something, if you have prioritized something else that's more important than Jesus in your life, then the enemy can work in you. Your flesh will do things you didn't think you would ever do. So let's do the most important thing. Let's do the only necessary thing that we must do as Christians, and that's come and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him regularly. Jesus. Will you bow your heads with me?